Dr. Mohana Amatharaja is an American orthopedic surgeon living in Australia and working for Doctors Without Frontiers. She's just back from a mission in Jordan where she's been treating Syrian war wounded.
Tell me a bit about your background, first of all. Where did you do your training?
So I did all my training in the United States. Did my undergrad at Brown University. I went to medical school at New York University. I did my orthopedic surgery residency at the University of Iowa. And then finally, I did a year of fellowship in hand surgery. That was also in New York City at the Hospital for Special Surgery.
What brought you to Australia, or are you just on the way through because of MSF?
No. Actually, my husband's work brought us to Australia. He works for an American software company, but they transferred him to their Asia Pacific office, which is headquartered in Sydney.
Do you work permanently in Sydney now?
Well, we're going to be here. You know, all the American expats say the same thing. You move to Australia, you plan 1 to 2 years, and everybody stays 3 to 4.
So, yes.
The initial plan had been for 1 to 2 years, but I think it's probably going to be 3 to 4.
Why did you choose to get involved with MSF?
I actually always wanted to work for MSF. I remember hearing about them when I was an undergrad. Around the time I was deciding to go to medical school, I remember thinking, you know, it would be a really great organization to work for. And actually, the opportunity is perfect because as I was sort of building up my practice in the U.S., it's really hard to take significant amounts of time off. But, you know, once we came out to Australia, it was, I've got sort of time on my hands. It's a way to keep up my skills, and it's just been a really great experience.
Are you not working in a hospital in Sydney?
No, because there's no reciprocity between training. I'd have to apply to the Royal College, which I would certainly do if we thought it was going to be a permanent move.
Yeah.
It takes, you know, it's a multi-year process, even
yes.
if they recognize your training is equivalent. And so I've really decided that unless, you know, something changes in our sort of future planning,
yeah.
I'll probably just stick with MSF for now.
So how often do you go on missions for them?
Probably about every 2 months, every 10 weeks or so. It's sort of, I do 2 months on, 2 months off.
Apart from, I know you've been to Haiti.
Yep.
And Jordan. Anywhere else, or have you just concentrated on those two?
It just those two. I've been to Haiti twice now and then once in Jordan.
Jordan's a hot spot for Syrian refugees right now. I'm yeah. imagining that you've been working on Syrian refugees who have been injured in the war?
Exactly. So the project I was working on is a war-wounded project. So all our patients are Syrian, and they've all been injured in the conflict.
That's obviously hugely in the news, the horrific images we've been seeing. Is it every bit that horrific on the ground in Jordan?
It absolutely is that horrific. And keep in mind, we're only seeing a small percentage of the actual people injured. To make it to the border, you have to sort of survive the trip from wherever you're injured to the Jordanian border and get through the checkpoint before you get to us.
Paint me a bit of a picture of the base that you were in Jordan. I mean, is it a refugee camp? Is it a hospital surrounded by refugee camp?
No, it's actually, we were based in a town called Ramtha, and it's in the north of Jordan. And what we actually do is we operate within a Jordanian hospital. So there are public hospitals in Jordan run by the Ministry of Health, and they've actually given MSF some space in one of their hospitals. So the infrastructure was already sort of, you know, there for us. So basically what happens is that we see patients within their hospital, but we have our own wards designated for us. We have our own operating room. We have our own space in the emergency room, and we hire our own, nurses and OR staff and all of that. So it's actually, they did a really good job of setting it up so that we didn't have to sort of start from zero in terms of infrastructure.
As you say, the refugees, have to survive the trip to get to you first. What kind of state are they arriving in?
It can be variable. Some of them have purely extremity injuries, which are obviously survivable. Almost all of them, I would say about 90% of them, have been seen and at least partially treated by a field hospital in Syria. So, you know, a lot of them have already had, you know, abdominal operations, some basic wound care, some splinting, that sort of thing.
And what kind of numbers are we talking about in terms of how many you would see in a day, for example?
You know, it really depends. I mean, usually we get anywhere, I would say, between 2 to 6 cases per day. But, you know, it's completely variable because it obviously depends on how bad the fighting is across the border.
Yeah.
And on how many people can actually make it to the Jordanian border to get to us.
It's an amazing situation.
Yeah, so actually the really horrible feeling is because we're close enough to the border where you can hear the bombs.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it sounds like distant thunder, but you can hear it. And so the worst feeling is when you've heard the bombing for a couple of days, but we actually don't see patients because then you wonder, you know, what's happening and where they are.
Did you go into the situation knowing much about the Syrian conflict?
I didn't know very much. I mean, I sort of knew the basics of it, and I certainly understand at least the major players in the south of Syria a lot better than beforehand.
Does that fill you with despair, knowing more than you did, or do you see some kind of hope?
Well, I think there's always hope, and I think as the international community becomes more aware and more sort of energized to see an end to the Syrian conflict, it'll help.
Yeah.
But it's definitely, I mean, it's so complex that, you know, all of our governments are really struggling to understand what's happening on the ground. And so much of it is driven, I think, by, you know, sort of very, I mean, it's very much a local conflict. You know, when we talk about it in the West, we always talk about sort of big names, you know, like ISIS or al-Nusra, the Free Syrian Army. But, you know, the fighting is very much local, is my understanding. It's very much sort of, you know, tribe against tribe, town against town, which makes it even more complex.
What's the difference between what you're doing in Jordan and what you were doing in Haiti, say?
Haiti is much more of a, because there's no ongoing conflict, obviously, so it's much, most of our patients there are road traffic accidents.
Ah.
Yeah, I mean, the infrastructure in Haiti is terrible. I mean, it certainly hasn't recovered from the earthquake 5 years ago.
No.
So I would say about, you know, 80 to 90% of what we saw was road traffic accidents. And then on top of that, there is sort of a baseline level of gang violence. So we do see some, you know, gunshot wounds, that kind of thing. But obviously they're not using the sort of militarized weaponry that you would see in Syria.
When you return to full-time practice, whether that's here or in the States, do you feel like this work you're doing for MSF is making you a better surgeon?
Definitely. And you know, you learn to do things with limited resources. But one of the great advantages of working with MSF is that you work with people from all over the world.
Mm.
And, you know, you learn a lot of things about, say, wound management or wound healing that would be applicable anywhere. And you really get, you know, exposed. Like, you know, I worked with surgeons from, you know, from Italy and from Belgium, from Germany. And so you get sort of firsthand exposure to techniques that you probably never would if you just stayed in your home country the whole time.
When's your next mission?
I don't know yet. We just got back last week, so maybe in another couple of months.
Is it hard to recover?
You know, it depends. I think that what, you know, living in Australia, obviously the jet lag gets you no matter where you go.
Yeah.
So, and once you're over the jet lag, I mean, there's a little bit of tiredness. But you know, after a couple of weeks, you know, I pretty much feel back to normal. When we come back, we do have, you know, we have a debriefing at the Sydney office, and they, you meet with multiple people. They give you, you know, a psychological packet, should anything occur. And, you know, if you do repeat missions the way I do, you're sort of in constant touch, the HR department and MSF. So I definitely feel, supported in that way.
That's great. Can you think of any particular patient that's particularly stuck in your mind over your time with MSF?
Well, I think there's a couple. In for example, in Jordan, there were two adolescent girls, probably about 13 or 14, who both had really bad injuries, but by the time I got there, they were actually well on their way to healing. But what struck me about them was how much they really sort of just took care of all the other kids in the ward. Like, they would take the babies around, they would play with the little kids. It's almost like they were part of our community, even though they'd, you know, suffered these horrific injuries. So I think all of us who worked at the hospital had sort of a special affection for them.
Had they lost their families, or...?
No, fortunately, both of them had mothers who were living. I mean, in terms of extended family, it's hard to say. Mm-hmm. But luckily, both of them had family members with them. One, unfortunately, had an arm amputation. The other had a significant spine injury, as well as an abdominal injury, so wasn't able to sort of walk normally. But, you know, the two of them were, you know, they were always sort of smiling and happy to see you, and it was really... inspiring to be around them.
Now, you're a hand surgeon particularly, aren't you?
Correct, yep.
I would imagine you saw a lot of hand injuries in Jordan.
Yeah, we do. We see a fair bit of arm injuries, but actually probably not as much as in Haiti, because in Haiti also we treated industrial accidents sort of thing.
Well, thank you so much for your time, and thanks for the work you do with MSF. It's hard to imagine trouble spots in the world without them right now, so thank you.
Mm-hmm. No, it's been a great opportunity for me, and I've felt very grateful to work with them.
Fantastic. Thanks, Mahana.
You're welcome.